Y'all better not come to my studio with that fake shit. Y'all better not come to my funeral with that fake shit. Y'all better off realizing there's nothing that y'all could do with me. All I ever ask is keep it 8 more than 92 with me. 100.
What up, though? Ooh, I came in hot than a motherfucker. Shit. Let me turn these levels down. God damn. iHeartMiko podcast. Hey, everyone. Hope I didn't blow y'all fucking speakers out. But yeah, what the fuck? Hey, everyone. How you doing? How you doing? I am Miko Grimes. This is the iHeartMiko podcast. Finally, back in Tampa. I apologize for being late. First of all, it's supposed to be airing every single Monday. And trust that anytime you don't get it on a Monday, it's really because some shit got real and I had to handle some business because I love doing this shit. So what had happened was family happened. You know, I had to handle some family business. I had to go to LA, spend some time with my family. I had to go to St. Louis and spend some time with my family. And it's always tough because I have to leave Brent. I have to leave Aiden. And, you know, he's new in school. Brent's in training camp. So I get yanked in a lot of different directions all the time. And I just love that my family understands. Speaking of family. Hey, family, baby daddy.
What's up? How you doing?
Good. I got Brent on today so that we can just talk about, you know, this is still, you know, the theme of these most recent episodes is training camp.
Okay.
So you're in training camp.
Definitely am.
You're baby daddy. So figured I would have you on a mini interview to talk about your year 12. This is year 12 for you. And to also talk about just whatever else is going on. A lot has been happening in the last, like, it's been like 13 days since I've posted a podcast and a lot has happened, but I'm not going to be able to get to all of it. It's just not going to happen. You know, especially I'd have to be on this shit like 3 hours or something. I don't, you got ADHD.
Definitely got that.
So there's no fucking way I'm going to have you sit in that chair for 3 hours.
Nah.
So we're going to just get to the shit that I care about, that I want to talk about. And, you know, let the conversation flow. First of all, thank you for understanding. I know I've never missed this much training camp, like ever. How you feeling about that?
Just feel like, you know, I'm a forgotten man.
You're not the forgotten man. I just, you know, I had to handle some business, spend some time with family and everything, but you know, when you know what made me feel comfortable about leaving, which is something we're going to have to talk about, is you got hurt. So,
yeah.
So usually I would never leave, like never, like something traumatic would have to happen, which, you know, something did. I lost my grandmother, Rita. Rest in peace, Granny Rita. She, I went to LA for her funeral and her services with my family. So even if you weren't injured, that was going to happen.
Right,
but
right.
You know, I had to take some other trips, but you got hurt and I was stressed about it. I didn't know what the hell happened. Like, can you tell us, like, I don't know if you've done this interview before, have you? Have you talked about this injury? Yeah.
How it happened?
Yeah.
No, I haven't. No.
That's crazy that the media didn't ask the best corner in the world how he hurt his leg.
Nah, they didn't. I mean, it's out there pretty much what happened, ain't it?
Yeah, but nobody wants their own, like, interview questions. Like I'm going to ask you, like, so exactly what happened? What? It looked like you were in, man. It looked like you were in the slot, for real. Were you in the slot or what?
No, I was at regular corner.
Okay.
This receiver turns. The number one receiver, that's the receiver closest to the sideline. He ran under, like, kind of like setting a pick with the number two receiver. That's the one.
On the other side.
Yeah. So they ran like a pick and I was trying to, you know, get over the trash, as they call it, or whatever. And something that happened a lot, like I caught somebody's cleat in my leg. And I, like I said, it happens all the time. And I was just, it hurts. you get a little mark. You can look at my shins. You see a bunch of nick marks all up and down my shins and stuff. But, you know, I just thought I was going to see a, like a red mark and it was going to hurt for a little bit and then I would just be cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then I looked down and said, oh, shit. Because I could see.
Your bone.
I could see the actual bone. And then I just sat there like, well.
It
then,
freaked me out because I saw you trying to hold it together. And it I thought just, it was broken. And I was like, oh, my God.
It was my natural reaction. Like, when I saw it, I just grabbed it. Like, it really didn't do shit. But I was like, felt like I'm holding my leg together right now. Because it just looked split open. I was like, what the f-? And my natural reaction was just to hold it. And everybody was weird. I was like, you were the calmest dude ever when something crazy happens. And I'm like, yeah, I just had to. My reaction was just, hey, keep your leg together. That's it. You don't got time to be wondering what the hell going on. Just
you were just calm and patient. Just, hey, you guys, come here. There's a, I can see my bone. Come here. And I'm on the sideline, like, sweating like a prostitute in church.
The time, like,
my body was shivering.
When they was coming over and shit, I'm like trying to look around them because I knew, like, I'm like, damn, Meek probably going through it. And then I tried to come over. I don't know if you look. I just gave
you gave me a thumbs up, but nah, that thumbs up be catfish. Y'all niggas would give us that just so we could calm down, but it's really bad. Yeah, fucking leg is severed. You go thumbs up me like just to calm me down. No, nigga, what really is it? Yeah. Then they brought the cart out, and I was like, oh, fuck. Oh, no. Then I went over, you know, that door that goes into the, you guys' players' lounge?
Yeah.
I went over there, and I was like, if this security guard does not move the fuck out of my way and let me in.
He wasn't letting you in?
No. When I was walking up, I was walking downhill on that nigga, like, the whole time. Like, I'm not even going to stop and say a fucking word to you, nigga. I'm walking right through you to the store. But it's a cop that's there, too. There's a security guard and there's a cop. And so the cop sees me, like, making a beeline straight for the door. And the security dude's looking like, is she just going to walk by me? The cop tapped him and was like, watch out. And just opened the door for me, like, go ahead.
They didn't want those problems.
I was like, thank you. I don't want to have to argue with nobody. I don't want to have to cuss nobody out. Like, I'm coming up in here. Right. Like, this is about to happen. Because I needed to know what the fuck was going on. But then when you called me from inside the locker room because they wouldn't let me in the training room. And you called and you were like, no. And I said, nope, send me a picture, nigga. You tell me it's not the bone. If your leg ain't hanging off, send me a fucking picture. So show me a picture or you're lying.
He wasn't buying.
No, you sent me the picture and I was like, okay, cool. Okay, bet. Man,
that shit was cut.
But it was still bad. It was still really, really bad.
That's the worst cut I ever had.
Yeah, that and was nasty.
I had some cuts in my time. That was the worst one.
How many stitches was it? 20?
Yeah.
20 well, stitches.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, my God. And right now, it still looks trash as fuck. And I'm mad at you.
Why?
You can't play soccer until it heals.
No, it was a mistake. It was like a mistake when it got hit in it. But
No. If you guys are playing soccer in the locker room, you're not allowed. You're on the bench. Okay.
It wasn't even like, it was just a ball.
Okay, well, look what happened. You done hit your shit.
Yeah, it's good, though.
No, we need to be ready week one, goddammit. What is wrong with you?
It's a cut on my leg. It's not.
You got two separate gashes in your leg next to the cut, and those came from playing soccer in the locker room.
Yeah, I'll be all right. It's a cut.
Nope. Any of the guys listen to my podcast, you ladies, I know some of y'all listen, tell your men, Brent is not allowed to do any of the extracurricular activities that involve his leg, his shin, anything from the knee down. If any balls are flying at it, he's not allowed. You're done. Week one, my nigga.
That's a cut.
Okay. Week one. Be ready, goddammit. But anyways, this is year 12 for you. Mm-hmm. And the last couple of years, I have been pretty much like doing like a PowerPoint presentation to you on why you shouldn't retire. Because you've been trying to get out of here for a minute.
Yeah, I have.
Why?
I mean, I'm good. Like, why? You know what I'm saying? Like, I still like playing football, but.
But what?
I would just be thinking, like, I'm money-wise, I'm straight. Like, why? You know, no matter how much you love this stuff, like some days you're like, damn, I wish I ain't have to, I could just wake up and do what I want to do.
Right.
So, you know, that was kind of like, man, you could do that. Like, you can really get up whenever you feel like it and play FIFA, go hoop, go, you know, get some food from somewhere, chill. Like, that could be your day every single day. And, you know what I mean? I was just like...
You was ready for that.
Yeah.
So, how was I able to convince you the last few years?
Because the part of, I still like playing football. It's still, I like competition. I like, you know, all that stuff. You also are getting paid to do it, so.
Like the biggest point for me was, when are you ever going to get $8.5 million to play, to do anything?
That's another thing that,
for 4 months.
That weighed into it. Like, I just thought about, you know, how I grew up. If I could go back and tell Brent that was eating ramen noodles, like, hey, bro.
I was eating them Chinese store chicken wings.
I'm not going to play this year because I don't feel like it and turn down, you know, a lot of money. He would be like, what? You know what I mean? That person would look at you like you're crazy. So, right. You know, you had I'm pretty sure everybody had those little, you know, different sides of battles in their head or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the rational, you know, I would say that's the more rational side. One, like, hey, man, you still like to play. It still pay you a lot of money.
Right.
You know, it's a good, it's, you know, have some fun with it.
And outside of the money, for me, a bigger part of it was that your health. Like, you play basketball on your days off during football season. Like, we go hoop. Like, nobody's doing that. Like, niggas are iced up, icy hot from the neck down, popping pills.
Yeah.
That day off, they need a massage. They need a hot tub, a cold tub. They need acupuncture. Like,
I don't.
You have never, Brent, you've had 2 massages since I've met you.
I don't get the point. What is the point of the massage? You can tell me right now.
I'm going to tell you right now.
What does
sometimes
it do?
My muscles and my joints and my tendons, they get really, really tight and really, really sore to where, like, I want somebody to just rub out the pain and the ache of them, like, just massage it until it, like, not like it hurts or anything, but, like, just get that pain out and those knots and everything. Like, you don't even get those.
No, I don't really know what the whole people would be saying. They'd be like, you don't get massages. I'm like, no, I don't really understand. I'm not saying, like, the massages I got with you.
You got, yeah, and you didn't, you hated him, and I had to force him, guys.
It was like,
he got 2 couples massages with me, and it was like a force. Like, I just wanted to, like, lay there with him and watch him get a massage and me get a massage. And he was laying there like, how much longer?
It's a long time to just be laying there having somebody rub on you. Like, okay, it feels good, but I'm like, all right, I'm over it, bro. Like, I'm trying to go do something.
Oh my God, I don't know how you're like this. Like, you don't use icy hot. The only thing I have seen you ice, like, if you pull a muscle or you know,
yeah,
like,
if something's pulled.
You've gotten, like, knees to your quad and you've had to ice, and you do use the Normatec sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah, but that's just as far as your training, like, your prepping goes. You don't stretch. You don't warm up before the game. Like, if you guys ever watched a game, Brent never warms up. He catfish warms up. He just moves the bare minimum so that the coach can think he's doing the warm up, but he's not. He's not warming up. He does not believe in warming up. He feels like, tell me when I'm lying. You can stop me whenever I'm lying.
You sound like me talking right now.
Yeah, because he feels like if you warm up, that's using your energy. And he has a great point. He's like, why would I want to break out in a sweat and use my energy before the game? No, I don't want to. And I used to be like, you know what? That's a good point.
It don't make any sense to me.
But see, in basketball, you can't. I have to warm the gun up.
You in basketball, yeah, because you got to get, you know, some shots, get your rhythm going.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, like, even in basketball, like, I'll shoot some jumpers, but I'm not about trying to get all sweaty and stuff before the game. Never. Don't even make sense to me. It don't, like, why? I'll be clowning the people, like, I'm joking with the people, because there's lots of people on the team that come in, like, we get there, we got to be there, like, 2 hours, maybe 2 hours and change before the game. And they get there like hella early, and they'll go out there and they'll come in like covered. They did a whole workout. I'm like, bro, we still got to play. Like, we still, after all that, you warmed up. You now, even if that was the greatest warm up ever, mm-hmm. you about to come inside
and cool and down.
Sit down.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah.
So I never really understood it. I never did.
Yeah, I know. So this is year 12. And now this year, this past, last year, first of all, you were the best corner in the NFL. Let's be real.
Appreciate that, Meek.
Do you agree?
I feel like that.
You feel like that. You see, that's what I don't like about you. This is the part of you that I wish was like me. And you should be like, fucking right, I'm the best corner in the league. Fuck wrong with you niggas. Ain't nobody doing what I'm doing. I'm 34 years old. Who has the more athleticism than me? Who has better ball skills? Who's faster? Like, you got everything. The only thing you don't have, which is funny because it's not a big deal, is height.
Right.
And people say you're undersized and you're 5'9 and 3/4. That's exactly how tall you are. Right. The average corner is how tall, Brent?
I would say probably 5'11.
So we're talking about an inch and a quarter. Right?
Yeah.
That's like from the tip of your index finger to not even halfway through the finger.
Yeah, I mean,
that's that much space, and they're saying that is why you can't be the best corner in the league, because you're just undersized. That little bit, that inch and that quarter, is stopping you
from getting any love.
Like, they really just feel like that matters to a nigga that jumps over fucking cars and shit. Like, there's YouTube videos of you jumping over a car, ain't it?
I don't know if it's a video, but I've done it before.
And niggas willing to say an inch and a quarter is, you know what? If Brent was just a little taller, he would be the best corner in the league. If he just had that inch and that quarter, you would be that guy, Brent.
Hey.
You would be him.
Yeah, that's what it seems like, right? I mean, I've been dealing with it the whole time. I played. So...
Why do you think that you don't get the love that you deserve? This is year 12. You've been doing it all these years. You're the only corner in the league that has at least 4 interceptions in the last 4 years. You led the league in pass deflections last year. You tied it another year. You went to 4 Pro Bowls. You made the Dolphins 50 greatest players of all time list in 3 years of playing there. In your 30s. You ruptured your Achilles in your 30s, my nigga. And you still get no love.
Man. When you say all that, that's a lot. But it's just a draft pick league. I really believe that. And then the scenario that I was in, I was a leftover from a whole nother coach's. Like, at the beginning of the career, all that adds up, so I ain't really ever had the team just selling me as
their guy.
You know what I mean? So I feel like maybe that plays a part in it. The fact, like,
nobody
I said,
wanted to claim you. You were just always an orphan. Like, you just went from like group home to group home, basically.
Like, pretty much. And I just been hanging on, but I'm balling. But it's like, you know, I don't know. Who is this guy? He went to where? Shippensburg? And I feel like they can't really believe it, so it's just...
Do you think that being light-skinned plays a part into it?
Probably.
Yeah,
probably so.
I do. Because I think if you were black, like black as shit, and you had dreads, and you had tattoos, and you talked shit...
Yeah, you're probably right.
You look like Woodstock.
Yeah.
You look like Woodstock, my nigga.
I don't look like a typical football player. I don't think I do. I don't think I really
you get no love.
The football player mold.
Yeah.
Mold.
And then the cornerback mold is the shit talker. Like, I would be a corner, you know? Why you don't talk no shit? You talk shit in everything, though, but you don't talk shit in football. Like, you talk FIFA.
I'm not really attacking anybody. And every other thing I do, I'm like
offensively aggressive.
Offensive-minded person. Like, yeah. Football, I'm just chasing the guy around.
Yeah, hoping that the ball come your way.
Like, I'm trying to make, you know what I mean? But I'm not, like, on the,
offense. You don't get to catch it and juke it.
I'm just trying to, like, I'm
stop
covering,
him.
Going where he's going. It's kind of like...
boring.
Yeah.
So you don't feel the need like to talk shit.
In any other sport, I'm like... like, you could come at me, but I'm about to go at you, too.
It's
like,
gonna, y'all got to switch roles at some point, like basketball. Like if even, a nigga cross you, you get the chance to cross him back.
I'm gonna get the ball back, bro. Yeah. So, good luck. Also, like, you know, ping pong, like, you going back and forth. Cornhole. Like,
FIFA.
Like, it's just, I'm attacking.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm a defender.
Mm.
It's not really my mindset.
Yeah.
I think I'm not really a... defensive minded person, maybe. I don't know.
That's why you go get the ball though, because you want to be on offense so bad.
True.
Man, Mike Smith told me last year, that last game against Carolina, we were in the parking lot, and I told him that you were gonna, this was probably your last game. And he was like, bullshit. He's like, bullshit, Miko. He was like, you need to do whatever it is you do, but you need to get him back this year. And I said, I can't. I'm not doing it anymore. I said, I feel like, you know, he wants to play basketball and he should be able to do that, you know. And a lot of people laughed in that Sports Illustrated article because you were, you know, planning to train and try out for the D-League. And I feel like people really don't know that you're a basketball player.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand why people would laugh because it sounds crazy, but it's something I wanted to do, you know. Mm-hmm. So it don't really matter what.
Right.
If you laugh at it because you wouldn't do it, I don't really care because you're not me.
People was like, do you understand that you're not coming back to the NFL and you're turning down that much money? You're not going to make that nearly that in the D-League. And I'm like...
because it wasn't about money.
At all.
That's what I was... it wasn't.
Yeah.
It clearly wasn't about money if I was willing to retire.
Yeah.
Because if I was about money, then I'm trying to... even if my leg about to fall off, I'm like, I got one more in me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not, that's not me.
Yeah, but I think a lot of it, too, had to do with people think that you don't actually have skills.
I mean, I guess if you never seen me play, you would think that.
Yeah. We might have to pull up some of the... Brent played in the Drew League, you guys, a couple years back. So we might have to see if we can pull up some footage or we got to do something. But anyways, Mike Smith, I did not do what you asked me to do. I told Brent, let's do this D-League thing. But Brent actually came back on his own without me coercing nothing. Like, I didn't have anything to do with it, Brent.
No, you did.
And you just decided, you came into the bedroom one day. I was sitting in the bed watching TV and you said, I think I'm going to play.
Yeah. I really was thinking to myself. I thought about it in the rational side, you know, made sense to do that. And that's what I went with.
Who was calling you? Anybody was talking to you about it?
Calling me.
Did anybody talk to you about it? Call you?
No, I didn't ask anybody about it. I just made a mind.
Did it yourself?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm proud because I was just like, ooh, I had nothing to do with this one. Like every year I have to beg you and talk you into it and just give you all the pros. And,
yeah.
And you just be like, but we're already rich. But what if I just don't want to get up and go to practice one day? But... I want to hoop.
Yeah, it was real arguments. Not arguments,
but discussions. And I was like, oh, God, how can I convince him? And then finally you decided to do it on your own. So here we are, year 12. Is there anything different about this year than the others?
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah, it's the same old football camp. You know, everybody's getting tired of it. But it's something you got to do. It's just the thing with football. Everybody since, you know, I mean, some people had training camps in high school. I didn't. But training camp was in high school, college, everybody hates it. You working out and thinking, man, training camp about to start. And that's, it's nothing different. It's the same old every single year.
Mm. You got injured in training camp, so this was almost like, was it worse sitting out watching? Because I know you hate training camp.
Yeah, it's really boring. Like when you're practicing every day, like it's, you know, when you, it's something you don't like practice per se, but it's something you don't mind doing after a while, but you need like, while you're going, you're like, man, a day off would be cool because I'm just tired of doing this every day. But after you sit out a couple days, you're like, this is boring. Because then you gotta sit there, sit at practice. Then you gotta go watch film that you had no part in. So you're just looking at the screen, and your whole day is just sitting around doing nothing.
Being a loser.
Yeah. So it's not really that cool. Gets boring really
fast. You would have rather done all the work.
Yeah, for real. But it was cool. Got a few days off.
Yeah. You was off for a minute. You had a cool little kick it.
Like a week.
You had a cool kick it. So, Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
You've actually been. We'll get into a little bit of Baller Wives in a little bit, but we're gonna do Hard Knocks first. But you've been on camera for the last 5 months, legit.
Yeah.
5 months.
You've been random stuff.
You've been on camera. You know, you've been in the days you didn't film. First of all, what was it like with Hard Knocks? Because I watch Hard Knocks. You watch with me sometimes. What was it like to actually be on it?
I mean, honestly, you don't really, like, you notice the cameras, but after, this is exactly what I thought. After a while, it's like, they're just part of it. So, you don't really notice them so much, except, like, sometimes, though, you'll be talking to somebody, and all of a sudden, you'll see the boom mic just, oh, shit, we're on camera. But other than that, it's, you don't really notice them. I don't even half the time notice them in the front of the meeting room, like when we have a big team meeting. But they're usually up there. But at this point, it's like normal scenery. So I just going on with it.
I was a little bit upset. I don't know how you felt about you being injured during Hard Knocks, because I felt like this could have been a dope opportunity to like showcase you to these bitch ass niggas that have been saying you've been washed for all these years and you're old and, you know, like they never give you any coverage. That interception in Detroit should be plastered all over the world by now. But, like, no shine for it. So I just felt like Hard Knocks would have been a great way for you to shine. And it's like, fuck, you got hurt. So you didn't really get
I don't know what else. How much else could they have done?
In the games. I know they were going to have you playing in the games. You could have went out there and did all types of dumb shit that you usually do. I wanted people to see it, you know?
Yeah.
You didn't want them to see it?
I didn't really think of it like that, but
I did, and I was a little salty.
Sure you
But
were.
What can I do? So I want to, we might as well get into this goddamn Baller Wives shit, but before I do, let me call Omar, because Omar's been calling me, telling me that I've been all over Miami media since the airing of last week's episode where Channing allegedly owned me. He owned me, Brent. So what I want to do is I got owned. He owned me. But I wanted you to hear, you know, both of us hear the stuff that, you know, is being said in Miami radio. And then, you know, we can, since we were there, you know, I'm under contract, so there's some things I'm not going to say, but there are some people that aren't under contract, so they can say whatever the fuck they want to say. So let me get Omar on, and then we could talk about this Baller Wives shit. Since I got owned, a bitch got owned, y'all. Yeah. I got owned by Peter from Real Housewives of Atlanta. Channing's a bitch.
Yo.
Omar.
How are you?
Good, 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 good. So I got Brent on with us.
What's up, Omar?
Oh, what's happening, Brent?
Nothing, chilling.
Right, the gang's all together, huh? Three the hard way.
You excited about season number, what, 11?
12. Don't cheat him that 1 year, Omar. Don't do what the media does. 12, my nigga. That European year counts, okay? Fucking counts.
Oh.
It fucking counts. Okay. He won the World Bowl. He has a ring.
Definitely got a ring.
Hey, I actually want to see that ring, to be honest with you.
Got it.
It's
in Fort Lauderdale.
I believe you're one of two people still in the NFL from the World Bowl. You're like a dinosaur.
Yes. Yeah, I'm a dinosaur too. That's what they call women over 30. They're dinosaurs. Oh, I'm a fossil because women over 40 are fossils.
I thought it was 40.
Yeah, 40 is fossil, but 30 is dinosaur. Ain't that crazy?
Yeah, we still got value for women over 30. I mean, 40 now.
Not these men.
Put y'all down
These men today. These men today are dragging us. If you over 30, you getting dragged.
It's time to put y'all down.
It's time to put us down, Omar. That's what we doing.
He said, "Put him down."
What are we doing to you men that are over 40? You men that are over 40.
Yeah. When we get 40, we get Devonier.
You know what y'all get?
What's that?
You realize that you ain't got it no more. Then you want to settle down with a bitch that you've been fucking over for about 10 years. And then you want,
you can't go to the club and pull a young.
Right, man. You can't pull the young hoes no more. You got gray hair everywhere. You done learned not to trick on these hoes now. Now you figured it out. So now you want to settle down. That's what y'all do.
Yeah.
Let's settle down at 40 after we done ran, like we done treated these hoes like pure shit.
Not all of us, but yes, mm-hmm. I found a gray hair in my beard this week too. By the way,
mm-hmm.
It was the first sign that I'm 40.
This your first? That's the first sign right there. That's it. Them knees, ain't it? Them knees.
Oh yeah. If I run,
them joints. Joints ain't give you the clue that you was 40, my nigga.
I'm trying to run now, and yeah, it takes me like 2 days. It takes me 2 days to recover from running 2 miles.
Yeah, my nigga, you getting up there. I don't give a damn. I'm 42. I'm proud. I feel like I look good, and shit. I'm just gonna keep going because I don't like people that try to say like a certain age of anything makes you something. Even in sports, you know what I'm saying? It's like no, judge me by. Yeah. What I look like, what I'm doing, how I'm living, how I'm acting. Don't just be like, ooh, she's over 40. Ugh, she's washed. No, I'm not, nigga. No, I'm not.
See, but hold on. For women, aren't y'all sexual peak like beginning in the 40s? What
my
age
nigga,
does that happen?
40 is, man, I'm in heat. In heat, my
now you
nigga.
Know what it's like to feel like an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
18-year-old male.
Yeah, because when I was 18, I wasn't doing nothing. I was good. I wonder if I had been like more promiscuous and doing more, like would I have been a different person? Because that's kind of mm-hmm. weird to me how some of the girls that was doing all that shit, everybody got like a different life. Like they had, like right now they about to turn up at 42 because their kids are like in high school now and shit.
Yeah.
And I got mm-hmm. a 6-year-old. Like they about to be relit, like you know what I'm saying? Like
a 6-year-old,
but it ain't no real relit. It ain't no real relit for no 42-year-old woman. Not you, of course, Nico. But I mean, the 42 crew trying to still get in to live.
I'm listening.
They got a struggle going. They got a. It's a real struggle.
Omar said you got them. They getting them ready to put them down at that age, right?
Omar, you about to catch all kind of hell when this shit air, my nigga. And I'm gonna be sitting back eating popcorn, like, yep,
hey,
get them.
You know, I've been out on these streets,
uh-huh.
And I mean, they when you in the 40s, when you a woman in the 40s, let's not pretend like you ain't taking a percentage of a man. You hope you get at least 40% of a man. And
see what
you
I'm
know,
saying?
Young, it's hard.
It's true. It's hard for a woman.
Yeah, that's the thing. The young chick, they want an established man.
Mm-hmm.
And if you like, let's say you're a 26-year-old young man, a 26-year-old woman ain't really looking for you unless you know you doing some things for her.
Right.
But in terms of a mature relationship, nah. Mm-hmm. So a 42-year-old woman, she got to compete with a 32-year-old woman,
mm-hmm.
and maybe a 26-year-old woman.
I say it all the time. It's hard out here. It's hard out here being single and being a woman because it's like you gotta like we're already outnumbering you guys. Like there's more of us, and then half of y'all gay, and the other half of y'all ain't shit. And the other one half is married. You know what I'm saying? So it's like
then don't forget the ones with the baby mamas.
Well, you know, it's okay if you got a baby mama. I don't got a problem with them. You know, I think some men learned from them first kids with them.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking about you could get a good baby mama.
Well, yeah, them the fuck ups. I already put them in the fuck ups. They in the ain't shit category. They in the ain't shit.
And keep in mind, a baby mama is not the same thing as an ex-wife. So.
Oh, it could be the same thing. Them shits could be the same thing.
But the ex-wife proves that you can make a commitment.
It could have been a terrible. You were bad at making decisions, Omar. I think you were terrible at the decision you made. Who you married? It was a terrible decision.
It could be. You a learned from decision, it, but I have proven that I can make a commitment.
That you can make the commitment. Okay, you got to document it that you can do it, even if it's a bad decision. You willing to goddamn do it?
Willing to make a
exactly.
Decision.
I ain't scared.
Oh my God. So Omar, I had you jump on. Me and Brent been, you know, kind of talking about his 12 years in the league and everything. And we came to this point where we were talking about baller wives. And so you send me a text and you let me know that, you know, I'm out here in these Miami streets. I'm being talked about. And so I got a whole bunch of text messages and links sent to me that I'm in the Boston Globe, I'm in the New York Post, I'm all over the place.
Are you?
Yes, getting owned by Channing Crowder. Owned. He owned me, Omar. Channing Crowder owned me on national TV, Omar. Yeah, did I get owned to you?
Here's my problem with that whole discussion that y'all had. Because I've said this to you, Channing didn't have anything to do with you being fired. You being wrongfully arrested had 100% to do with you being fired.
Right.
Now, is what Channing said on the radio about you disrespectful? Absolutely. But you've also heard the same thing said by just about every
1,000 people.
Media member.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was my whole point of the whole show is why it Channing is one of 1,000 media members in South Florida and all over the world, damn near, that think that I should not be on radio. I shouldn't. Some women shouldn't even talk about sports. First of all, he tried to say on radio that I'm on the TV that he doesn't have a problem with women. If somebody said to you, Omar, that, oh, I heard Channing was a little chauvinistic, would you believe it?
I don't know. I don't want to speculate anybody.
Look at you. Okay, Omar. Okay, I see what Omar got today. Cool, nigga.
Let me put it like this. Does every football player have a level of aggression to them that translates into their real life? Absolutely. You cannot play a violent sport, to get your head busted in, be yelled at, have coaches call you a fuck nigga for every day of your life and think it doesn't translate into your home life.
Do with whether. So you're basically saying yes, he's chauvinist. You would agree. You would weigh if you were betting whether a football player, any football player, was chauvinistic or not. You would say yeah, they probably are.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That's what Omar gonna give me today.
I would really need to see him interact with his mama and see him interact with his wife. But yes, if I had to put money on it, I'd say yes.
Whatever, Omar. You know good and hell well that Channing is chauvinistic. But whatever. So Channing says that, you know, a woman shouldn't be talking about football. And also a wife of a player should not be able to cover the team he's on. He also said things about me getting my job because of Brent. That it has nothing to do with skill and that he thinks that I'm terrible. Now, you and I had some discussions about whether or not Channing thought I was terrible. What did we discuss?
We discussed the fact that Channing used to listen to the show and tell me how much he liked it.
Right. When we were on the air, right?
Correct. Yes.
Why is Channing saying that I suck right now?
I have no idea why. Well, actually, I do. Because it makes for good TV. Everything makes for good TV. But that's just my honest, candid answer. I don't know Channing doesn't think that you suck in terms of radio. I know he doesn't think that you suck based on your perspectives or things that you brought to the table because they were quite good. Should you have been talking negatively about Ryan Tannehill or any, you could hit, no. Let,
Omar, when I was on the radio before, you know, I was polite and pleasant until after I got fired. You know that. I spoke from a, he's average. Remember I told you Philbin asked me to just say he's average. He said, Miko, don't go any lower than that. Did I ever go lower than that on radio?
Not while we were doing radio, but here's the problem that you fall into. You were allowed on radio while Brent was playing for the Dolphins to criticize any player on the team. You could kill Dallas Thomas. You could kill Philip Wheeler. It didn't matter. But the minute you touch Ryan Tannehill, oh, no, bitch, you done crossed the line.
Right. I criticize everybody. Anybody that played bad, anybody that had a bad game or wasn't even good, who I thought wasn't talented enough, who I felt should be cut.
And because I did the show with you, I know that you were holding back.
Yes.
95% of
yes,
the time.
I wasn't even going in as hard as I could on certain players because they're my...
I used to roast Philip Wheeler, and you would not say a bad word, even though you knew he sucked.
Yes, I used to try really, really hard because I don't... My husband... Brent understands that I have a job to do, but what also people didn't know is these guys were my friends. You know, like, they came over to my house. We hung out. I hung out with their wives. So for me, it was a tough position to be in already, but I still had a job to do.
That's correct.
You know what I mean? And I feel like I did my job. And for him to say that I suck, Omar, what was our ratings like?
I don't know what our ratings were because I never looked. But the fact that we were consistently getting more shows and had a full weekend, which was the first time anybody had ever had a full weekend.
Right.
We was doing remote shows. Like the first time anybody on a weekend was doing remote shows. Don't pretend like we were sucking because you was making We had advertisers.
Right.
So I don't get into the business end, which is probably my downfall about why I'm not doing radio because I don't pay that much attention to the business end. Mm-hmm. But I know we was doing good because people were listening.
Right. Omar, this was your show. This was the Omar Kelly show. You asked them to have me
and
on.
And I advocated for you.
You advocated for me. I was popping in on your show occasionally. I became an employed member of the radio station. Mm-hmm. Then they let me start driving your show. Do you remember that? And you never one single time
put
made
you on other shows.
Yes. Then they had me on Big O show on Joe Rose. They were training me to become one of the Monday through Fridays.
And wanted to put you on Power 96.
Yes, on Power. They were training me for Power 96 as well. And here we have Channing Crowder saying that I suck. And the reason that I didn't get a job after I was fired was because I sucked. That was his reason.
That's not correct. And I've
Brent, you're just sitting. Brent's over there just sitting there. Go ahead, Omar.
I've addressed a number of media members. I've had, and you know this, I've had people in media companies that I would love to work for personally come to me, not about myself, but about getting you to work for them.
Yes.
And I'll sit there trying to convince you to do this, and you'd be like, nah, nigga, I'm good. I don't have to work. I want to work for myself.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm going to do something, I'm not going to work for another man so he could fire me when I step out of line.
Yes.
I'll do me.
And my husband said that to me, too. He goes, why do you want to be an employee?
Yeah.
Brent was like,
just saying, like, you didn't have any reason to do that. Like,
yeah.
It ain't like you need the check. So if you really have a passion, which she does about, you know, reporters, sports reporting, journalism, and things like that, she can just go. I started hearing about this podcast stuff, and she could do it her own way. It was multiple people trying to get her, like you just stated, trying to get her on
radio shows, newspapers, magazines,
stuff, but
everything.
She didn't want to do it, but you know,
yeah,
that's what.
So
I always wanted you to do it because I think you needed people. Don't take you as seriously for your football intelligence or your sports intelligence as they should. And partly because you got a loud mouth and it's a foul mouth.
And I'm black. I'm a black woman.
I won't put black into it.
Because black has that stigma of loud black woman.
No, I'm not going to put color into it because people pay attention to me. And I'm a person of color.
But you're a man. You have a dick, Omar.
Okay.
I'm a pussy, a black pussy.
No,
different.
Your titties are the problem. Yes, your titties are the problem. No doubt about it. Your titties are problem number one. And here's the problem. I was just having this conversation with Marilyn. people are never going to take you seriously because you bring such a level of this of conversation to the table, and it elevates their sports thinking. And nobody's sitting out here talking about I want to learn. I'm gonna learn something from a woman about sports that I've been watching my whole life.
Right.
Like I said this to Marilyn. Like when we did shows, you knew more about basketball, and at that time, the Heat were at the top of the world. You knew more about basketball than anybody on our radio station. Doesn't even matter who you want to name. You knew way more, had the credentials, played professionally, could talk X's and O's, could talk personnel, could get on stars on the league, on the show. Like
I was doing it.
You was doing it. Let's not sit here and say that, oh, she didn't have no credentials or she didn't bring anything to the table. You would run circles around any host. You could name whichever one you want in a basketball conversation. Now, I would say some of them would rival you in a football conversation, but the truth be told, you know more about the inner workings of what was going on, not just from Brent, but from the other players that you talked to,
right,
who still talk to you.
Yes. Everybody thinks all my information comes from Brent. They don't understand that there's a lot of players on that team that confide in me and talk to me and tell me stuff.
And half the time, I know, because I know both of you and Brent, y'all don't agree on half the shit about Brent's team.
Yes.
So to sit here and say that your opinion is Brent's opinion, no. If you know Brent and you've talked to Brent, you know Brent. It took forever for Brent to realize Tannehill wasn't shit.
It took him a while to realize that they were going to be 8-8 a lot of times because he just didn't have all those skills that, you know, you need to get over the hump. And then, you know, it was just a lot. And I just feel like people like Channing are chauvinistic little pieces of shit that lie and say things like, oh, she sucks. You have nothing to back it up. I'm sitting there telling this nigga that I have a degree.
He can never say that to you.
But he said it right to my face, Omar. Right to my face. And guess why I didn't flame him? Why didn't I flame him, Brent? Why didn't I get to flame Channing Crowder on national TV? Why?
I said, chill out. I knew what it was going to be, so I said, just chill. You did a pretty good job of chilling. You said some stuff. But you did. You could have went way worse.
I wanted to. And you said to me, do what you do, which, you know, I smoke weed. So I got high as shit. And Brent was just like, okay, whatever. If that's what you need to do to walk into here and allow these people to attack you, to allow Peter, to allow Peter from Real Housewives of Atlanta to get into some bitch shit. You know, because that's why I was like, why is Asia saying that I have a beef with Channing? Like, Omar, have you ever even heard me say anything about hating Channing or having a beef or mad? Like, I was more mad that he was talking shit about me and then his wife was trying to be my friend. I'm like, what the fuck? This is some weird shit to me. Like, what?
People, one don't have nothing to do with the other, and probably Asia don't talk to, because Channing ain't got no problem with you, and you ain't got no problem with Channing.
No, we don't. We never had a beef.
I've been trying to squash this beef for a long time.
Because it's not beef, and I didn't understand why people thought I had a problem with him. There's 15 to 20 other men in Miami that say the same things about me that Channing says. Why would I isolate him? He's nobody. He's not, like, even anybody important. Like, he's not a big-time name or a guy. Like, it's not like it was fucking Bomani Jones saying it or somebody, like, big in sports radio. It's Channing Crowder. Like, why do I care? Like, I didn't understand why people thought I cared about that. I would have been roasted him on my social media if that was the case.
That is true. And you have verified receipts on this.
Yes.
If you had an issue with Channing, a real issue, you would have roasted him on social media. You got receipts on this. So, I personally don't like the fact that the show forces y'all to interact. I don't like the fact that, you know, y'all, I mean, and I get it. That's what the show is about. It's about drama. And, I mean, you knew you went into that situation knowing you was being ambushed.
Yes.
You ain't even had your road dog.
I was alone.
You're supposed to have a little bit of backup. I'm sure nobody went into any other situation without no backup.
Right.
But, you know, it is what it is. They want to see you. They want to see you. And that's why
they wanted to see me turn up and get ignorant.
Yes, because they need
to. Stop shaking your head, Brent. People can't see you shaking your head over there.
Yeah. That's what they want. Y'all talking.
I mean, my thing about you and this show, and I'm going to say this to you so it's on wax. Hopefully, you're getting out of it what you want to get out of it. Because I know these shows are for using it to a greater good and getting a platform. You don't need the fame. You don't need the money. I was just having this conversation with Marilyn. I can't think of another wife of a professional athlete who has a bigger name, except for Giselle, and she's a supermodel. Mm-hmm. Like, and then you have a segment of society that respects you for your sports knowledge. Now, I want to see you flip that into doing something that you want to do. Right. And then I will sit there and look at the show as a success. Because right now, all
it's
I see
a failure.
Is
it's a failure right now. They calling me a bad mother. They actually, Channing and Asia have actually said that I told my son not to play with their son because, like, why would they even think that? Like, what kind of... They don't even know me, first of all. They don't even know me well enough. I didn't even know they had a daughter. I just learned on episode 2 that they have a daughter. So they don't know anything about me. So how is it that they could even say that I would keep our children away from each other?
I mean, why they got to be friends to begin with?
Thank you.
And
it's just...
What, Brent?
It's just for the show. Every question y'all asking is all because it fits. It makes a scene. It makes a storyline. And that's what everything is.
I mean, but here's the thing. When you signed up for the show, did you think you were going to be a good guy or a bad guy?
A bad guy. Definitely. I knew I was team bad girls. I already knew that. And I'm fine with that. I'm good with being the bad girl. You know, but being a bad mother is absolutely a line. That's a violation of every kind. And I've gone as far as telling them to eat all of my shit and I'm done with this show. Because I'm not okay with a storyline that is all the way false. If you embellish it or if you put a magnifying glass on me, because I can be a mean girl sometimes. I can be a bitch. So I'm cool with you painting me that way. But a bad mother, a mother that would say or do anything to make children that get along not get along, you can't tag that to my name. No, fuck no. Absolutely not.
I just want... If this is going to continue, like it's used for a platform that you want it to be used for, that you get out of it what you want, and like I that whole show, man, it's like they painted people have many different dimensions to them. There's a bad side of people and there's a good side of people, and they've clearly created the bad girls and the good girls, And I'm like, that's not really fair.
It's not even accurate. But, you know, we have to allow them to paint the picture that they want to paint. You know, that's exactly what it is. We signed up for this. One person here didn't sign up. Brent Grimes, you did not sign up be a participant in Baller Wise. Everyone's asking, why isn't Brent in the promo? Why isn't he this? Why didn't you sign up, Brent?
Because I don't want people telling me where to be and what I got to do, except for one time during the year. And that is the football season. So I'm not going to sign up and have them telling me, you know, where I got to do this and shoot this and make up this storyline and act like you care about this. And it's not really me. You know, I'm not an actor. So I didn't really feel like it would be that much fun. I try to, you know, do stuff when Miko asked me to get on and do some things. But I did not want that to be a requirement of mine that I have to do. Like a true responsibility, nah. Not rolling.
Well,
I can respect that.
Yeah. So, Brent, why did you, you know, I've been asked to do reality shows for years now, for at least 6 years. You said no every year.
Every single time.
And this time you said yes. Why?
Well, my reasoning was, and part of me, like, I still was torn, but I do feel like, you know, publicity, you're trying to do some things with, you know, podcasts and other things, and the way they were talking when they were asking you to do it and the stuff you were relaying to me is that the show is going to be absolutely different than what it is now. So I feel like I've been had a little bit, but it is what it is. That's my bad. I got to, you know, own that. But I felt like you could get some good out of this as far as publicity. And I felt like you could hold your own. Like you are smart enough to know when they're trying to set you up, how to handle situations going in. You can think things through, like, all right, this is what they're trying to do to me, so I know how I gotta react to this, so I don't look, you know.
I fucked up.
For the most part, you did.
But I'm talking about with the Aiden situation.
Yeah, I feel like they completely set you up on that. And I don't really watch the show, but I watched that episode, and that had me a little mad because I know how that situation really went. And to see them really set my wife and my son up like that really had me hot. And I probably won't watch another episode of it because I know it's all set up, you know? Everything's a setup. Everything's scripted in a way. It's not scripted, but it is. And
yeah,
it's not really, it just put a bad taste in my mouth from the start. So I don't really
want to. Brent is off it.
I'm off of it, for real.
No, and here's the sad thing. I think I even told you this, Beagle. I've always had a liking for reality TV, and I wanted to be a producer for scripted reality, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, because you do have to set situations up for people to interact, but those type of shows, it just can't be about you interacting and you just dealing with one of your friends trying to help her get through a situation, or you dealing with, you know, maybe Stacy in a rough pregnancy. Nah, they need some glasses thrown at each other.
Yeah, and, it's just,
and you know, and I'm off that now. I really am off that because I couldn't sit there and say, okay, well, I'm going to try to present this situation. I'm going to force her to go to this event and then force her to have a sit down with Channing Crowder's wife so that they can hash out the issues, knowing that they're not going to hash out the issues because we need to keep this drama going. If y'all would have just hashed it out and hugged and said, girl, let's do tea on Tuesday, they would have been pissed.
Pissed off. They really wanted, I feel like, from what I'm hearing from that scene, they wanted more from that scene because they really, like, I could tell you how it went because Miko told you she came in the clouds.
I was high as giraffe pussy, my nigga. I'm talking about lit.
They were so pissed because they could see it in her eyes. Like, you know, you got the complete chill in your eyes. That's the absolute opposite vibe of what they wanted. So they trying to shove drinks down her throat. We like, nah, like, we don't need no drink. She don't need a drink right now. And like, cause they wanted that scene to probably be a drink thrown, maybe like
they needed Miko to character.
They riding over the table, throwing stuff at each other. Like they had to separate it. That's what that was supposed to be, and it didn't turn out that way. So
it was such a letdown.
Yeah, it was a letdown. They wanted that to be a big.
Chilled.
They wanted you to come in and go ape shit. That's why they were trying to give you straight whiskey. Like I'm like, damn. Soon as we walked in, they looked at you and was like, wait, you? And he was like, yep. And they was trying to throw drinks down her like they was like, look, take two of these. They trying to have her double fist. I'm like, damn, it's really a setup. And she like, no, I'm chilling. I'm good. But
I handled myself.
They needed that episode.
They was coming at me from every angle. Everybody. That people that watch the show, like, you're gonna have a reaction. I wasn't mad at people that thought that, you know, I was a bad mother, that thought I was keeping two kids apart. I was mad because you motherfuckers really took it personally, like it was your kid or something. Like, why the fuck are you in my comments? Like, you're so horrible, like it was your kid. First of all, it never happened. If you watch reality TV, you should know that there's a certain amount of editing that takes place. Second of all, for you to get that involved, my nigga, like this, it was only episode 2. How you so involved in the characters already? Goddamn. I'm involved. You know I watch reality TV, Brent. Yeah. And I've been watching certain shows for like years. Like, we in season 6 type of shit. Right. And I feel like I'm invested in this shit. You know what I'm saying? How the fuck are you invested episode 2 of season 1 that you in my comments going absolutely bananas over some shit to people you don't even know? You haven't even gotten to know us yet. Like, you haven't really, I feel like you can't be acting people like that. People are just fucking weird, man.
People
it's like, calm down. Do you really think I'm that bad? Like, honestly, I have my son all over social media all the time. I open up my social media to people. If I was that horrible, it would have been seen by now. You know, and you know, Asia's attacking my parenting. You know, that's what pisses me off, because all these ladies are always, the kids are off limits. The kids are off limits. But is parenting off limits? Like, ain't that an extension? If you're telling somebody they're a bad parent, or that you don't like their parenting skills, isn't that a direct line to their child? Because if I'm a bad parent and my son is not in timeout every day, then what are you? You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't come for my parenting if you don't want me to come for the results of your parenting. The results of your parenting is your son. The results of my parenting is Aiden Grimes, and he is awesome. He is fucking awesome.
Right.
You know, so that's why I'm just like, you got to chill. Like, don't think that I'm not finna come for you, and whatever it is that you think you're coming for me for, I'm going to flip it back around on you and put a mirror to your face, bitch. Look at your child. Don't say nothing about what I'm doing with my child. Look at your child. My child, that was my biggest problem. Omar, I can hear everything you chewing, my nigga. You need to relax, okay? That bag crumbling and shit, disrespectful.
He was rummaging through something.
Rummaging, my nigga.
What you got, some pistachios? What is that?
Oh, my God. Britt kicked me out of the bed last night, y'all, because I was eating pistachios while he was trying to sleep. He had to get up early for practice. He rolled over like, because I first said, yo, Brent, can I eat in the bed and watch TV while you sleep? He was like, yeah. The bag started crumbling. He was like, get the fuck out of here. That's what you sound like, Omar. You sound like that eating, but what was I saying?
I forgot. Parenting, you're going to put the mirror on.
Yes, but that was my whole thing, is like, you can't say something about somebody that you don't like about them, and then when they respond, then you suddenly, you just like offended. Like, you are the fucking victim all of a sudden. Like, bitch, just because
I get that all. Come on, you get that all the time on social media. Yeah. I get that all the time.
You come at me.
Yeah.
Just because they didn't air.
And then I come at you.
Just because they didn't air what Asia said to me, you idiots, that doesn't mean she didn't say anything to me, okay? When you watch shows, you need to understand that you're not getting everything. You're not seeing everything. That was not me and Asia's first altercation either. I'm not going to get into it because I don't feel like no fucking lawsuits and shit, but Asia came for me this entire season. I never came for her one time. I never asked Asia for a sit down. I never told Asia that our children were going to hang out. I told her that I would try, because my son did not like her son, and I would try to get my son to, you know, be able to get to a point where we could film with him. Aiden said he tried. It did not work out. They got into a fight on the playground. He said, the deal is off. I'm done trying, Mom. I don't want to film with him. And what kind of mother would still make him? What kind? Not me. I'm not making my son do that shit. They don't get along.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Aiden tried. I asked him to try. I asked Asia. This is another thing. This bitch is so full of shit. I asked Asia I told her that the reason that I didn't want to be her friend. I said, we can film together with all the ladies and all that kind of stuff, but I'm not doing anything one-on-one with you or your child, because your husband, you know, disrespects me. And so when I told her about the disrespect, she was like, I believe you. And I said, oh, word. She said, yes, because I almost had to threaten divorce with him because I wanted to be a real estate agent. And he told me no, that I needed to stay home. That's what she told me. And she said, I had to put my foot down. She said, so I kind of believe you that he might have said something chauvinistic. And she asked me, what could I do to help her so that me and her could eventually get to a point where we could, you know, become friends or get to know each other. And I told her that Channing needed to apologize to me. Whether it was sincere or not, I need him to apologize, because I'm not bringing my child over her house for a play date with a man that talks shit about me. He would talk shit about me around my son, maybe, you know? So she told me she was getting me the apology. I said, cool. I ran into these motherfuckers two times at school and no apology happened. None. So the deal is off. It's off, my nigga. No, I don't want to film with you and your child. No, my son tried. He doesn't like your kid either. It's not happening. What's the problem? There's plenty of kids on this show. There's plenty. Everybody has children. Why this bitch so thirsty to film with me and my son? That shit was weird to me.
And I have no desire or interest in seeing anybody's children on the show.
Yeah.
VH1 is not a setting for children.
It's not. You know, and the only reason I let my son film is because he's intelligent. You know, I feel like he's smart enough and he's not going to embarrass me. Hopefully, he kind of called me out. He did have some cool little one-liners on me, but, you know, I like Aiden's personality and I wanted people to see it. And Brent and I discussed it and we were okay with him being on, but never was I supposed to be set up like that. Like, that was just dirty to me. And I'm not okay with it. But, you know, when you sign up for this shit, you got to take the good with the bad.
That's true. And hopefully, you know, I don't watch reality TV that much anymore, but I mean, I've seen the people from Real Housewives of Atlanta, they flipped it to really successful careers, doing other things,
yes.
or use it as great platforms. And I don't know about, you know, the white reality shows, because I really don't watch them. But hell, Jay Cutler's married to a reality TV girl, so it is what it is. Hopefully they use it and flip it to use it and flip it to something that's productive and good for you. But I'm like, I was having this conversation with Marilyn. I was like, I don't even know what Miko wants.
I can tell you what I want. You know, I have a cookbook that I've been trying to put out. I wanted to promote my cookbook on this show and put that out. And just, I wanted to basically be a platform for women that are, you know, like, I see commercials for food all the time and all that stuff. And to me, you're not being honest if you're eating dairy. Like, dairy is very, very bad for you. It's the number one cause of cancer. And I want to be a platform for people to understand that a lot of this food that we're eating is the reason that we're sick and the reason we're dying, the reason we're taking all these pills. So it's really about me putting my cookbook out about healthy living, healthy eating, and getting off pills. And you know what I'm saying? And getting out of the letting these billionaires get out of your fucking pocket, paying all these prescriptions and all this shit. Living better lives. That was a big part of it, you know, like health-wise. And the other part of it was obviously, you know, Omar, I want to have my own sports talk show one day on TV.
Yeah.
You know, and I wanted to show the world that I'm not just this loud, disrespectful, crazy bitch that cussed out, you know, the Dolphins and Ryan Tannehill. Like, I actually am a nice young lady. I'm polite. I have manners. I do know how to walk away from, you know, arguments and disagreements and situations that I'm put in. You know, I just wanted people to see that I'm capable of being respected in this industry and I should get a job, you know, doing what I do best. Which is talk about sports and talk shit too.
But here's the thing. Now they put you in this reality TV sphere.
Yeah, I'm good with that though. I'm good with that because I'm showing that I have a whole nother side of me. I like the ratchet Meek. There's a ratchet Meek. Yes, that bitch is there. Yep. She ain't never going nowhere. But there's also a corporate Meek. You know what I'm saying? There's a business Meek. There's a resume Meek. And that bitch is who I'm trying to put out there so that people can see that I can be both.
Yes. And see, that's the thing. People, every time I always got to go on Joe Rogan's show and they'll tell me what you do. Every time you do something, I got to sit there and have the conversation about what Miko did, what Miko said. And truth be told, when you go on Twitter rants, I don't pay attention. I don't want to see it. I don't want to watch it.
Brent.
I don't know. I don't know who. Yeah, I have taken on the Brent role. I don't know who's being attacked. I don't know why they're being attacked. I just don't want to see you go like that. Because I know what I consider the real Miko. And I have always respected that person because that person is real. That person is genuine. That person is caring. I've seen it in my life. Mm-hmm. I don't know the one. I do know the one that goes ham on people. But it's not the person that I see on a regular basis, and that's what I hoped I would see in the show.
But are you seeing it, Brent? Brent, first let me get Brent's opinion. Brent, what is your opinion of me so far on the show?
Being that I know the situations, I feel like you're handling them well. No. They like you can't do what they twisted and did whatever that first scene, but you could be turning up, going crazy, and you're not. Like, from what I've seen so far. So I feel like you're doing a good job. It's just that, you know, you never know now because they can spin it and chop it however they want to chop it. So it's just you at the mercy of however they're going to cut it.
Yeah.
But you, like, from what I've seen, I obviously wasn't at everything, but I got a play-by-play whenever you came home.
Yeah.
And you handle stuff well.
Omar, what's your opinion?
I think you're. I know you're set up for failure because you need to portray yourself as a bad guy, and so they want you to turn up. They need you to turn up, and when you don't turn up, they like, oh, it's like when LeBron missed a 3-pointer that you expected him to make. You're like, damn. And so it's like, to me, I don't like the fact that you like with the bad girl crew.
Why? What's wrong with being the bad girl crew? I feel like the bad girl's crew is really, if you think about it, bad is really like good, because the reason we're being called bad is because we're being ourselves. We're being true to who we are. We're reacting naturally to people lying on us, attacking us, you know, disrespecting us. We're being natural. These other girls are not being natural. You know what I mean? So that's why they look good.
Yeah. See, but here's the thing. Why don't they get seen as mean girls?
Because that's not the way the show is being edited, it looks like.
It's portrayed.
Okay. Well,
go ahead.
I don't like that.
I honestly go ahead.
You guys are cracking me.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I honestly don't like that. You paint picture, and that's what I don't like about it, because they need to create the characters. They need bad and they need good. You're a heel. You're not a you know, what they call the wrestlers that aren't heels?
Face.
What is it?
A face. A face is the good guy in wrestling.
Yeah. You're a heel. You can't. And so, remember when Hulk Hogan turned into a face to a heel?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they need you to be bad. You're not giving them bad, but they're not going to show you good.
I mean, I am giving them bad. I'm giving me. There is a part of me that is bad. There's a part of me that is reactive, that is disrespectful, that will cuss people out. I'm giving that. I'm just not giving ignorant. I'm not throwing drinks. I'm not swinging on people. Now, I will if I need to. You know what I'm saying? If shit gets real. But for me, I'm really trying to still be myself, which is a disrespectful bitch sometimes, which who talks a lot of shit or whatever. But I'm doing it in a different bubble. You know what I mean? In a reactive bubble, not like an instigating, like, oh, I want to just go out here and cause problems with people. My disrespect and my cussing and my ratchet is a reactive ratchet, which that's why I'm cool with me being that kind of bad.
Well,
I know you don't like it.
I want them to show the Miko that I know, and
hopefully
that Miko probably don't make good TV.
No, Miko, that she was there, but all that ended up on the cutting room floor once the drama happened. There's lots. I don't know what's still left to air, but there's lots of good Miko. There's lots of things that they filmed the good sides of me and not arguing, yelling, and all that stuff. So I don't know what else they're gonna air and how much good they're gonna show of me. But I've just decided that I signed up for this fucking ride, and I'm just gonna ride it out and let it finish. And I can be as pissed off as I want at the way I'm being edited, but I can't do anything about it. There's nothing I can do about it. All I can do is quit. That's what I could do. Yeah. I could quit and not do it again.
You as a writer, we tell stories based on what we're given, and we interpret it and portray the situation. That's why I was like, I don't think I've ever written a story about Brent Grimes, just because in the whole time I covered him, I didn't really feel like I understood Brent Grimes. Mm-hmm. And it takes a while for you to learn people and learn the characters, and I don't really think they're getting the opportunity to know the Miko that I know. And that to me is bothersome, just watching the show.
And see, for them, their argument, because, you know, I feel the same way, and I talk to producers, and their argument is that those things develop. Like, you have to be in this for the long ride and allow them to slowly peel back the layers of who you are and let the people know. So, you know, there I have noticed in some reality shows, I do eventually get to know a lot of these people. And that's when I said, when I get invested into the characters and I feel like I know them, that's over time and years. And so what I have to do as a family, as a unit, we are in a decision of, do we still ride this, or do we say, fuck you, like you crossed the line, like you disrespected us in a way that's unforgivable? Because, you know, that whole bad mom shit, I'm still not over it. I don't care about people's opinions. I'm more upset that someone used my child in that way. Someone edited my child. Edit me in that way. Don't edit my child, you know? And that was the part that pissed me off.
What you know, for people who don't know you, and everybody thinks you're this matriarch or driving force behind Brent Grimes' career, And you put a lot of energy into it, and some of that is valid, but you put way more energy into Aiden.
Yeah.
And that's kind of disrespectful, especially when you don't have the full picture or you don't understand, you know, the dynamics of how Aiden is raised or you know.
Yeah.
You know.
That's why I was upset for her even coming from my parenting when she doesn't even know a thing about my parenting. She has no clue the things that I've done to get my child where he is today. You know, she didn't ask me any questions about my parenting. She just judged me based off of one incident that was made up. You know, and that's why I'm just like, girl, you better go on somewhere. You are she is lucky that Brent Grimes got this leash around me, because I wanted to slap the entire bullshit out of Asia so many times. I almost did one time, and I don't even know if they're going to show y'all, because you see, I don't know how this shit is edited, but sure enough, I wanted to slap the shit out of her. And I just kept saying, Brent is going to kill me. Brent is going to motherfucking kill
thing.
Me.
That's another thing I had to address. I always explain it as, okay, when you get off the leash, it's because Brent let you off the leash.
Right.
Really, because you just some rabid dog just running the yard, no?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. But we need to talk some football now, because this whole Joe Hayden situation.
Oh, God. We can talk about it. Yeah. So Joe Hayden got released. First, they tried to trade, which who the hell was going to take that contract? You know?
Yeah, $11.2 million, yes.
So then they released him. And you know, the question I asked Brent was, I was like, why do you think they released him? So, Omar, why do you think they released him?
Because there's no upside to him. He was going to be a one-year rental. They were going to cut him at the end of the season. And they probably just wanted to see. He was viewed as a progress stopper. I watched his film, especially against the Tampa Bay game. It bothered me that Jameis Winston just targeted his ass in the two-minute hurry-up. Just threw three straight passes at him. And I was just like, okay, if you're going to be disrespectful enough to target the allegedly elite cornerback on a hurry-up drive, this nigga ain't what you thought he was. And then I did some research and realized people in his conference targeted him last year. So, you know, I think he's still an NFL starter. Do I think he's an elite cornerback? Nah, he's lost a step. And I'm not really sure he's that good in zone. And I was just like, you know, people are like, oh, should we cut Byron Maxwell and sign this dude? He's signing a 3-year, $27 million deal. Fake money, of course, with the Steelers. And that's a great situation for him, because he's going to, you know, go from the Cleveland Browns, a team that's never been a contender.
So he did just sign.
In 8 years.
Well, you
he's
said he signed?
He's going to get signed, yeah.
Oh, no, I thought you said
he's
he did.
He's going to get signed. No, he's going to. That's when the turns come out, it's a done deal. You know that.
But it was with the Steelers.
Deal. Yeah, it's with the Steelers. He's going to join the Steelers. And you know, I need to know what the real numbers are, but the deal is, the fake numbers is better than all I expected. I thought he'd be forced to sign like a 2-year, $12 million deal. You know, it'll probably still end up being a 2-year, $12 million deal, but he he's going to play for a contender. But my thing is, anybody expecting him to become some elite cornerback, you're going to get your feelings broken, because you're going to get your heart hurt. He's a starter in the NFL. Would I say he's a top 50 cornerback in the NFL?
Three years ago, people had him in their top five. Brent wasn't in anybody's top five. This was in 2014, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep, you're correct.
And now he's released. Now he's good enough. He's not even a top 50 now. He went from top five to not in the top 50. So basically, he shouldn't have been in the top five 3 years ago, is what you're saying.
No, maybe. I don't know. I think when you, as players age, he's only 28, so I can't.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, don't talk about no age.
Yeah, yeah. With the people who are not freaks of nature, because I put Brent in the freak of nature category, because Brent really hasn't aged. When NFL players age, especially those who are slow, let's not forget this dude ran like a 4.7 at his pro day at Florida. He ran a fast time later on, allegedly. He ran a 4.7 at a combine and then ran a faster time at his pro day, allegedly. You know, when God, the one thing that you notice when guys age, and Brent could probably chime in on this, especially the skill positions, when they age, they lose a step. Mm-hmm. So you go from, if you ran a 4.6, you now run a 4.7. And, you know, that's going to be real rough on you as a life as a cornerback running a 4.6. life is not good. No matter what they put you in, man or zone, no matter how good your hips are, it's going to be rough.
Brent is cracking up.
especially if teams targeting you and you not helping, and they not helping you with safety because you got this reputation. Revis went through it, you know.
Ooh, he went through it bad.
As he aged, he lost one of them tenths of a second, and then everybody started targeting him. And then when it's like the Mike Tyson Buster Douglas situation. Once they see that you could get knocked out, ain't nobody gonna be scared of you.
Once you put that film out there. Getting cooked, and everybody see it, and it's like, we found the weakest link in that secondary.
I remember when I covered the Hurricanes. They were a legendary team, probably the best team of the decade. The Alabama before it was Alabama, and I covered that team, and then they lost to North Carolina, and then all of a sudden everybody came in there like, huh, wait, North Carolina beat y'all, and then they lost to Clemson. Then they lost to Tennessee. Then everybody was like, wait a minute. This is not the power, same power that we once knew. We can get them. And it's like an avalanche. So now teams know they could go after Joe Hayden. Now what interests me is that a team in his division, knowing he was not
still picked him up. That means they were struggling over there in that secondary in Pittsburgh.
Either struggling or they know he wasn't giving his all.
Oh, you think he? He was tanking to get out of Cleveland?
I don't think that's the case.
You think he was tanking?
I was going
to
go.
Listen, but I like Cleveland. But when you've spent 8 years, think about Brent's 2-year tenure, or was it 3-year tenure with the Dolphins, where you knew your franchise was going nowhere.
Uh huh.
Now imagine being in Cleveland, because that was y'all runner up, right?
Yes, it was. Yeah, but I couldn't imagine. Yeah. To me, your reputation as a player is always going to be. Go ahead, babe.
I don't think he was tanking. What I think happened when I first heard that he was up for trades, they were up talking about trading him, which really means they're probably going to release you at the anyway. But when I was watching the game, I noticed that, you know, the Browns were playing a lot of cover two. Like, that might be their scheme. Mm-hmm. Like, they might be doing a lot of cover two this year. And like, with cover two, you don't necessarily need to have a corner that's making $11 million because you're playing cover two.
Right. You can just drop anybody in that.
And also, the last few years, Joe Hayden has been hurt. Like, I don't know all that, but I just remember. Because, you know people in the league, so people went to Florida, and they're like, damn, my dog hurt again. Like, you just hear that. And I'll be like, oh, Joe Hayden hurt again. So, like, he was hurt, you know. Then they come get a new coordinator. They run a cover two scheme. They probably going upstairs like, hey, we running a cover two. We can plug
anybody.
You know, like, it's people that's good at it, but we don't need to pay a corner $11 million. So, if y'all want to make this move, we can make it. And that's what I think happened. In my mind.
Yeah, but here's my problem with that whole situation. And this is where my biggest issue with the NFL is, and I always scream it from the mountaintop. You got $58 million in cap space. Ain't one way in hell you going to be able to spend any of that. So now you just waive this man, get an extra, $7 million on top of that. Like, you're never, ever going to be able to spend your cap space. You're sitting here telling your fans that you're being competitive while you start this young rookie at quarterback, and then you've traded for 14 draft picks. Like, what are you really – you're not trying to win. Don't pretend like you're trying to win.
They're not trying to win.
It might be setting up for the future. They might be trying to prepare to go after some big free agent quarterback or something that's about to –
they just trying to keep some money on the caps. And maybe, like you said, maybe get a free agent quarterback.
Maybe they're waiting for Tannehill to be released next year and they can sign him to a big deal.
I knew gonna say that. let me say something. I didn't believe in the whole Tannehill release conspiracy, and he won't be released. But after watching Jay Cutler practice this week, yeah. That's
what you tried? Yeah, who told you, Omar? Who told you? Who told
listen,
you? I had you on my show, and I said to you, now listen to me, Omar. If Jay Cutler come out here and ball, you trying to tell me that Ryan Tannehill ain't the fuck out of here? And you said, absolutely not. This is still his team, blah, blah, blah. And now you change your mind?
Yeah, I'm off
he
that
said,
train.
He said, yeah. You done seen a real quarterback. You forgot what it looked like, yeah. Didn't you? You've been covering Ryan Tannehill for 5 years. You forgot what it looked like for an actual quarterback, not a receiver playing quarterback, to be under center and snap that motherfucking ball and throw it like a real nigga.
Here's what, it brings me back to the game that Brent was part of this game that y'all played against. Brandon Marshall and the Bears, mm-hmm. and y'all kept baiting Jay Cutler to y'all kept giving him single safety high looks and then switching that shit on him, and he, you know, you give it to him, he gonna take it,
right?
And he's aggressive as hell.
Yeah,
I don't even know if I've ever seen a quarterback that aggressive. Now, Brett Favre. I love an aggressive quarterback. Yeah,
there's another guy named Jameis Winston. Yeah. Young, yeah. He's
if
young.
If you give Jay Cutler single safety high, it could be third and two. Throw that ball.
He's an idiot there. I like idiots. I like playing against idiots.
Yeah, listen, it's aggressive. It's productive. I'm curious. I've had this discussion with people, and I would love your insight, Brent, because you cover these people. Name me a better trio of receivers than Jarvis Landry, Devontae Parker, and Kenny Stills, who you actually will face them in week one. So you should be studying the film right now.
We got a better one over here already, my nigga. DeSean Jackson is better than Kenny Stills. Mike Evans is better than Devontae Parker. And I'm going to go ahead and throw in Humphreys over there for Jarvis because I'm sorry, the Jarvis Landry is really good, but the numbers be catfish. Don't play games. Act like a whole bunch of his receptions ain't 2 yard. Should have been 2 yard handoffs because Ryan Tannehill was dinking and dunking the fuck up and down the field.
See, and I agree with you. We discussed this in the media, and we think maybe Dallas, maybe Oakland, definitely Tampa. Only thing that holds Tampa back is that nobody really knows y'all slot receiver.
Right.
So
I know
you might know something that I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, they've got a good trio of receivers. Devontae hasn't done it yet. But
I understand your point. You guys have the weapons. You got it. You got some shit.
Miami always, you could go any team in a league for real, and it's talent. Like, Miami's a very talented team on the offensive side of the ball. But, you know, all that, you can look at any team. Our team is very talented. What's Pittsburgh's receivers? They just got that dude, the tall dude back.
They have it's Sammy Coates. And then
Antonio Brown,
and the slot receiver, and then Martavius Bryant.
The Falcons got Julio.
That's all you got to say is Julio and Sanu. I don't know.
There's a lot of good receivers in the league. That's what I'm saying. So when you say the Dolphins got the better name, a better trio, I mean it's all opinion. It's all opinion. Like, they're good, yeah. It's a lot of good receivers in the NFL. Nobody can touch them. So, they're going to catch the ball.
Yeah, well, you know, the Dolphins actually have a quarterback that could throw the ball. And it's interesting. I'm not saying I'm on board with the Jay Cutler train because I need to see him and I need to see bad Jay Cutler.
You need to see four quarters what you need to see. You're going to see that week one. We coming in town. Week one. The brawl for it all.
The brawl.
I'm a little bit upset that Ryan Tannehill isn't playing. I really, really wanted to get one of his balls and then kick it back on the field after Brent hands me the interception. I would kick it back, like boot it back onto the field on their sideline. Like, get this piece of shit out of here. Nobody want no Ryan Tannehill ball. But after I thought about it, I was like, he wouldn't throw to Brent anyway. He never threw to him in practice.
Yeah,
3 years.
And people would say that to me. Oh, Ryan's gonna tell Brent Grimes, and I'll be like, dude, I watched Brent practice against him for 3 years. He never threw to Brent. Like, he ain't gonna do it in a game that matters.
Right. Hell no, he ain't gonna do that shit. I don't give a damn what offense he think he running. He wasn't gonna throw that shit. But Cutler will throw the motherfucking ball. He gonna throw the ball. And so that makes this makes it a legit game now. It's a real quarterback playing. So this is like a real game. Like at first it was like, first I wasn't even like, we gonna snuff these niggas. But you over here saying Jay Cutler balling. So I'm like, oh, okay. Let's fucking see. Week one, nobody got no full film out on each other. Let's go.
You know how I am about quarterbacks. And for me to say somebody balling,
I respect it.
I can't even look at a 4-touchdown practice and be like, this nigga, we're talking about 3 long balls. Like, you know. How does that compare, Brent?
But see, that's different too, Omar, because y'all defense is low-key trash. On the lowest of keys, y'all defense is trash.
Yeah. I mean, if they don't have a lead, I believe you. They're going to be trash. Because they need a lead to unleash them hounds. If they don't have no lead, it's going to be nasty. It's just going to be catfish.
It's going to be exciting, though. You coming to my tailgate or what?
Of course, you know I'll be there. You know I'll be there. I got to get there early, too.
Yes, you do, because I know you're going to have to work and everything, but you better come. I'm going to let you go. Me and Brent got to discuss some other things. But, you know, it's always awesome having you on, man. This was funny as shit.
Always a pleasure.
I'm going to see you next Sunday, September 10th, okay, week one, game one. It's
you,
on.
You stay here after?
I might. I'm going to see.
Oh, okay. All right. Holla at you.
All right. Peace.
All right, Brent. All right, stay healthy.
Yep.
Ugh. I hate when people say stay healthy. Get the fuck out of here, Omar, with that dumb shit. You're talking to an athlete, okay? Athletes, for everybody listening, athletes do not like for you to say stay healthy. Don't get hurt. Like, what the fuck? Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? I've been reading this shit to y'all for a little bit now. I'm going to keep it real. So basically, I'm about to try ZipRecruiter. And the reason I'm going to try is because I've been reading this promo and the shit sounds legit. And guess what? I need employees. I am currently trying to find some people to do some editing, to do a lot of other things that I want to do and to take my podcast to another level. So I have decided that I'm going to try the shit that I'm fucking promoting. And so I don't even know what to tell you, but I'm going to continue to read this drop. But what's going to happen also is next week or the week after that, I'm going to let you know exactly if this shit is real. Because they say with ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100 plus job sites with one click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get qualified candidates through the site within 1 day, my nigga. So they basically telling me that if I sign up for this shit and in 1 day I'm going to have some qualified candidates to help me take my podcast to the next level. No juggling emails or phone calls to your office. Simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified candidates with immediate results. And right now, my listeners, which means I'm a motherfucking listener too, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Miko. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Miko. One more time for free now. It is going to be free, and I'm gonna let y'all know exactly what's going on with this. ZipRecruiter.com/Miko. Now, I'm gonna try ZipRecruiter, y'all. I'm gonna let y'all know because I mean, why not? Why not? If you need employees, why not try ZipRecruiter? Because it sounds like it's legit.
People always feel obliged to say that to athletes.
No, just say, get buckets, my nigga. Hoop. Work them niggas out. Yeah. Leave that health shit to your own fucking mind, my nigga. Don't come over here with that shit. You know?
Right.
Man, it's getting late, Brent. I know you got to go, too. You have to go.
Yeah, in a little bit.
I have to. I guess I'm going to shut this down too, because we had a whole bunch of other stuff we were going to talk about. Maybe we can just do another episode this week when AJ gets here. AJ's coming.
All
right,
cool.
The bully is coming. The bully will be in town tomorrow, you guys. AJ Francis plays for the Washington Redskins. He's coming to town. The Bucks cut him last year, okay? He actually probably had the best camp.
Yeah, he balled
last year of all the line. He had an incredible camp last year and still got cut. And he has taken this personal. So, you know how those fourth preseason games don't really be nothing? You just be like, oh, he's just a bunch of scrubs. AJ's going to play.
Yeah, I'm going to watch my dog.
AJ's,
I don't know how much he's going to play.
Me either, but
he's been playing early in the game.
He's been playing early. AJ looks like he's going to start for the Redskins. This is like,
I don't know if he'll be
the starter, but he's going to get a lot of minutes. This is a big season for him, and he's coming here to play the Bucks, who cut him, and he has taken that very personal, ladies and gentlemen, okay? So I'm anticipating some fuckery from the bully, the big belly bully. Whatever minutes he gets, I think he going to be lit.
Yeah, he might be.
Yes. So, Brent, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to close this out by myself because I know you got to get dressed and go hang out with your teammates. You guys got some hard knock stuff to do.
Yeah.
So have fun. And if you see anything that I might want to have, some food or anything, let me know because I am hungry. I got to figure out what I'm about to do for dinner for us. But I'm going to let you go, okay?
All right.
I'll holler at you later, boo.
All right.
So, yeah, I had to cut this a little short because Brent had to go. Omar had to go. I think I'm going to record again this week just to give you guys more. There were so many things that I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about the Floyd fight. I wanted to talk about, you know, Colin Kaepernick. I wanted to talk about this Kyrie trade that hasn't actually happened yet. Is it going to happen? Is it not? The ramifications of all that. But I just, you know, kind of ran out of time. I want to overwhelm you guys, but before I go, I do want to send out some blessings and love to the Hurricane Harvey victims in Houston. Unless you've been living under a rock, you should know that this hurricane hit Houston and parts of Louisiana, I believe, as well. And it's really, really bad. Like, it's really bad. A lot of people are struggling and they're suffering. There's still people to this day that haven't been rescued. There's just a lot of flooding. There's no power. People need food, and our country, to me, I don't understand a lot of things about our country. And it's like, we pay all these taxes and I'm just like, what is that for? Like, I'm watching people on a helicopter, you know, lower down these little rafts and these little beds so that people can climb on it and they lift them back up. And I'm like, so why don't they have more of those? And they're like, oh, well, this is the only amount that the state has. And I'm like, so why aren't the surrounding states and surrounding, you know, areas bringing their airplanes and coming in to, so that there's more, you know, airplanes and helicopters and whatever it is that we need to rescue people. And it's like, it just feels like we're not even American. It's like, nobody cares. Everybody just wants to watch and just like, oh my God, it's so sad. But it's like, why are we paying all these taxes? And I'm like, you know what we pay taxes for? Fucking weapons. We pay trillions of dollars to buy weapons and all this bullshit, but when our own people need us, we don't even have their back. And it's just little things, you know? It's little things like there's babies that need diapers and they need socks and they need blankets and they need like shoes and toothpaste and all these little things. And it's like, where is the help? Where is the aid? How come we don't have anything in place for these natural disasters? And I'm going to put natural disaster in air quotes because there's nothing natural about this shit. I don't give a fuck what nobody says. I believe our country and our government and probably our military is making these fucking hurricanes. And if you do any type of research, you can see, and I'm not at liberty to discuss it in detail, and that's why I'm not going to go into it deep. But trust me, a bitch has been doing research on how you can actually make natural disasters like a hurricane, like this shit that keeps happening. You know, and it's like, this shit is not natural. There is someone benefiting. And anytime you see something that you're just like, something's wrong, why would that happen? How would that happen? Just like, you know, Katrina and just like 9/11, think about who profits. Think about who benefits. You know what I'm saying? And that's part of the reason I never donate to the American Red Cross and an American Heart Association and Cancer Society. I don't give them a fucking dime, because I've learned that after they pay all their employees and after the people that own these nonprofits, that's in air quotes as well, get their money out of it, then they use the scraps and the crumbs and the change to give to the people that actually need it. It's bullshit. So if you really, really want to help the victims of Harvey, go on my page, on my Instagram page, and you will see a link. My podcast page might be up. So when you get this, it's probably gonna be my podcast page. But there is a link that I put up. If you can get there before I fucking post this, but there is a link, and it's for firstandfull.com. And this is a company. This is a nonprofit of some ladies in Houston. I believe they're football wives, and they're taking donations, like donations. You don't have to give money. You can give things. You can ship a box of food, non-perishable food, children's clothing, adult clothing, blankets, towels, sheets, bathroom toiletries. Every little thing that you do every day and you use and you don't think about it because it's just there, they need that kind of shit. They need that kind of stuff. And if it's in your heart to give, and everybody can't give, everybody's not in a position financially to go into their pockets and buy some things. If it's some stuff around your house that you're not using, your children have grown out of stuff, and you can donate it, go to firstandfull.com. They have plenty, plenty, plenty of links and places that you can, you know, link up with to help. But I would not advise you to give money to these big names, because they are full of shit, everybody. They're full of shit. A lot of things about this country is full of shit. And I'm sorry that, you know, I'm always the bearer of bad news and bringing up all the bullshit. But it's like, if we don't educate ourselves, if we don't know what's happening to us, how can we fix it? How can we understand, you know, that these things are happening to us? And how can we fight if these hurricanes are being manifested and manufactured by our Defense Department and our government, so that these other companies can thrive and flourish? Like, I just, for the life of me, can't understand why people want to uproot so many people and have them homeless and have nothing just so they can get money. Like, it's so disgusting to me. It's just a piece of paper. That's all it is, a piece of paper, and I cannot wait. I cannot wait for the day that we go back to the barter system. I would love to live in a system where you have to trade goods to get something, not money. That will humble all of us. That will allow us to grow our own foods and eat better and be more responsible and actually have a skill. Because a lot of people that have all the money, they don't have a skill. Their skill is hustling us. Their skill is scamming us. Like the pharmaceutical companies, they're scamming us with this medicine and all this shit. The Food and Drug Administration, they're allowing you to eat McDonald's, which isn't even real food, my nigga. Like, they actually are okay with us eating the bullshit that we're eating. You know, and I was talking to one of my girlfriends the other day, and I said, can you believe that the Children's Cancer Hospital has an ice cream day like every week? And ice cream, dairy ice cream, causes cancer? They're in there because they have cancer, and we're giving them ice cream, dairy ice cream. What the fuck is wrong with this country? Get to